Dogen then the teaching may be explained in terms of 4 points. First one is realization of impermanence. Can you hear me? The second point is skandhata, zazen, as practice. Third, can I say liberation or body and mind dropping off? Okay, according to Dogen's term, I think he uses a particular term, body and mind casting off or dropping off, which means liberation or freedom, in action. So liberation in action, that is the third point. Fourth, the whole works. Those 4 points. Okay. First one, the realization of impermanence. The second, skandhata, or zazen, with wholeheartedness as practice, extending to any practice, any kind of practice in our day, in our everyday life. Third, liberation in action. Fourth, the whole works. Now, whole works, simply speaking, means that the everyday life beyond your speculation must be alive vividly. Anyway, beyond your doubt, your speculation, your theory, whatever you think, any explanation, any doubt, any ideas doesn't hit the mark anyway. So the whole works means that your life day to day must be vividly working. Okay? This is we call the whole works. Whole works. I think there is a short fresco of the whole works written by Dogen. It is very interesting fresco related with life and death. So let me say first one by one, explaining one by one. First one, the realization of impermanence. He often mentions how important realization of impermanence is. If you really want to practice Buddha way, or if you really want to know what human life is, anyway, you have to see fully or deeply into how the transient the world is and how fragile life and death is. thinking generally, in general Buddhism, we say no substantiality. No substantiality, idea of no substantiality and impermanence is one of the teachings of life and death in terms of physics or sciences, modern sciences. I think not only the Buddhism, physicists, all scientists, anyway, realize already how transient the world is, how fragile human life is. It's not the only Buddhist teaching. So, no teaching of no substantiality means that everything is produced by many conditioned factors, or everything is aggregated organically by mediate conditioned factors. It means, in other words, that there is no particular idea called the I or you or table. No particular idea. Because everything is allowed to exist only by power of organic aggregate. That's it. So even though I say karagi, I, this is my idea, so-called katagiri. If I call myself katagiri, this is a kind of fixed idea. So it's very narrow understanding. If I attach to katagiri immediately, this is the being separate from others. But katagiri can exist only by virtue of organic aggregates. In other words, only in the relation with all of you, the I name Karagiri can come into existence. So without you, without table, without floor, without Minneapolis, Karagiri, called the I, never comes into existence. So that is the meaning of no substantiality. So if you look at your life, I think everyone has ideas evaluated by usual sense of value, morality, anyway. So always you judge yourself and then put yourself down sometimes. Sometimes you're proud of yourself so much. But whichever you go, proud of yourself or putting yourself down, whichever you go, it doesn't hit the mark. In order to understand who you are, who I am, how I should live in this human society, it doesn't hit the mark. Always there is some question. That question is, every day, every moment, how I should live with the people. Okay? If you realize, if you figure out a way to live only for you, it seems to be easy, but it doesn't last for long. So temporarily, it lasts. But it doesn't last for long, and also you are separated from people and society. So very naturally, you have to think, yourself anyway, in a universal perspective, we say always. So even though you have your own ideas, you have to put aside your ideas anyway. And then, practically speaking, there seems to be no way to have your own ideas or to have idea how to live. Practically, there seems to have no idea how to live in peace and harmony, because every day we create a lot of trouble. Even though we always emphasizing peace and harmony, and always somebody somewhere, always creating something dangerous, weapons, and somebody always fighting and killing each other. So if you look around the human world and the human beings, there seems to be, seems to have no idea of how to live in peace, in harmony. And then people say, no way to live. So if you say no way to live in peace, it is your idea. But broadly speaking, in terms of the true state of existence, there is no substantiality, means everything is produced, aggregated organically by conditioned factors. So no particular ideas. So all you have to do is within a certain state of existence which there seems to have no idea to live in peace and harmony, we try to find a way to live in peace and harmony. Okay? This is our effort. So whatever kind of idea you have, there is a way to live. I found a way to live in peace and harmony. Yes, it is fine. But if you attach to it, it doesn't last long. Sooner or later, it will be a cause of trouble. So whatever kind of idea you have, anyway, that's fine. But the point is, you have to, every day, you have to find a way how to live in peace and harmony, day to day, with the people, anyway. It's not ideas. So teaching of no substantiality, or teaching of impermanence, is everything exists exactly as a unity, okay? As a one. So Karagiri, if I say Karagiri, there is no reason I should attach to Karagiri so much. But all I can do is, there seems to have no way to take care of Karagiri as an individual. Okay? So let it go. Nevertheless, I've try to figure out a way to take care of Karagi in the universal perspective. Okay? That's why people always emphasizing a peace work. There seems to have no peace. If there is no peace and you attach it to idea of no peace, everyone cannot have any hope. Everyone cannot have any way to live. So everyone should give up. But you cannot give up simply. No. You cannot die simply. So there is a contradictory situation, okay? Broadly speaking, in terms of your understanding, in terms of your experience, remember this point. First point, there seems to have no way to live, okay, in peace and harmony. This is always question. That's why it makes you question, how should I live? So no way to live in peace means not pessimistic, okay? Not pessimistic. It means everything less in the same and one way. That's it. There is nothing to touch by you, by your ideas, by another's ideas. No. So everything is oneness. Okay, you say. So no such teaching of no substantiality means, in other words, unity of existence. Unity of all things. Everything is one. That's why in Buddhism we say one is all is one. So first of all, we should remember this one. Remember, and we should be mindful of this. Okay? We use the samatha and vipassana in Sanskrit. Vipassana, we use the vipassana in Sanskrit, which means observation or insight. I think not only the experience of insight, but I think a realization, the realization of impermanence or realization of no substantiality, which means impermanence or no substantiality, or that everything is one, those teachings must be true to nature in your life. That is realization. Okay? In other words, you have to taste it. You have to taste it deeply with your body and mind. That is called realization. That is called true to nature. Is that okay? Not only insight, not only experience of insight, so-called vipassana. Okay? Vipassana is fine. This is one of the practicing the Tendai Buddhism, but that is another term. But what I want to tell you is, generally speaking, whoever you are, Buddhist or Christian, any of whoever you are, that's fine. If you are a human being, there must be a certain way, universally, to live in this world. So, for this, I think not only the experience of insight, experience of realization, tasting those teachings very deeply with body and mind totally, okay? Totally and wholeheartedly. That is first point of the Dogen Zenji's teaching, okay? Generally, in terms of general Buddhism, Buddha Shakyamuni mentions in the Eight Noble Truths, Eightfold Path. First one is right view. Right view is that you have to understand the human world, the human beings, very deeply. Based on impermanence and no substantiality. This is the right understanding. And Dogen Zenji comment on right understanding says, right understanding, right view is that your life must be absorbed by Buddha's eye, means universal eye, universe. Eye means functioning of the universe, okay? Cosmos, something more than cosmos, but this in the physics point of view. Okay? Anyway, but universe, let me say universe. So, your life must be encompassed or included or embraced by universe already. Okay? That is called Ganzeri Dzogchen in Japanese. Ganzeri means within the Buddha's eye. Dzogchen means the body is stored already. Okay? Body is stored. So your body means that the life and death is already stored in the big storage called universe. Okay? So that is, you should be think of it, you should be mindful of this right view. So the deeply you should be mindful deeply of this every day. Every day. Oneness of the universe, oneness of existence, oneness of all things. Anyway you should. And take this very deeply with your body and the mind. Then how you should taste it. Then next, second point is practice. Practice is, anyway, you have to act on your object, okay? Your object or a thing or ideas with wholeheartedness. This is the practice. This is the practice. So always in United States, now in United States, human beings, okay? Generally, human beings always want to know first, systematically or intellectually first, as your background, the background of your life. You want to understand it. Sure, it is important. But life cannot be taken care of in that way always, because life is really vast. There are lots of things you don't understand it. So sometimes, okay, sometimes you have to practice first. And then in order to practice first, I think to the minimum, you have to have a certain information how to behave, how to act. Of course it is. For instance, if you want to come here and to listen to Buddha speaking, I think you don't have any idea of Buddhism. Okay? But if you want to come here, I think there is a simple procedure how to reach here. So, to the minimum, you should have information how to come here. And also, to the minimum, you have a certain idea of Buddhism. You know already something. From your friend, from the books, from the teachers, somebody else, anyway. But from your heart, maybe. But your understanding is not perfect. What do you want to come? You want to know. So, why do you come here? Do you have a background of your Buddhism? Of the Buddhism you have understood? You don't have. What do you want to know? So first, you try to come here practically instead of understanding intellectually what the Buddhism is. So you come here and sit down and listen to me. That is pretty practical. And then later, well, you listen to the Buddha's teaching, but you don't understand at all. Okay? So one word is left, let's imagine. But not exactly totally, but it's at the little corner of your heart. Not the whole state of your heart. Just at the little corner of your heart. One word, one statement is left. In other words, you are impressed. Impressed by little word. One word, or two words. One sentence. But you don't understand exactly, but you are very moved by. And then later, someday, you really understand it. If you read a book, if you teach, if you listen to somebody else that they're teaching, then you understand it. So, I think this is the, in the Buddhist teaching, I think if you have a right view based on the teaching of no substantiality and impermanence, which means everything is existent, as a one, okay? Then through and through, you have to be mindful of this teaching with your whole body and mind, day by day, regardless of whether you understand or not. Anyway, next, practice. That is simultaneously practice, because you have to. You cannot always see the impermanence and objectively. You have to participate. Practice is, you have to participate. In other words, practice is organically participation, okay? Or simultaneous participation in time, flow of time. Okay? When you are in the airplane, you can see the time objectively, okay? At that time, you and the airplane and time processes are separated. That creates a lot of fear, you know. I often have traveled with the airplane, but in my heart, always some scare there, because my consciousness separated. My consciousness sees the time process and the airplane separate from me. Always thinking something. But this is a right view. Anyway, how well I am. Okay? Airplane, I'm not in the heaven, okay? I am in the airplane. I am in the flow of time. Anyway, I am. Not on the ground. But airplane and I and the airs and clouds and the whole universe are one. So my death, my life are all are one. So I think we should, I should be mindful constantly of a total situation of my life, including airplanes and life and death, everything. As a one. That time, I can be quiet. A little bit. Next moment, my consciousness still grumbling at, but even for a while, if I see whole situation as a one, I think it makes me quiet. So calm down. Sit down there. Be quiet. Keep your mouth shut. Just sit down there. So what do you mean? Next, practice. What do you mean, keep your mind shut? Keep your mind shut means, anyway, taste impermanence, no substantiality, very deeply with your body and mind. Next, how can we taste? That is a practice. So you have to participate. You have to participate organically in the flow of time, flow of activity. Action means wholeheartedly. You have to do it. Means be quiet right now. Shall I? Next moment. No. I was quiet. No. I am quiet. It's not exactly perfect. At that time, I become quiet. Because I am eyeing is completely total situation of all things. Okay? Other one. Including airplanes and families and zen centers, all students and everywhere. This is called zazen. Shikantara we say. Shikan means wholeheartedness. So shikantara is very basic practice for us. A very simple form and being rooted on the floor, not in the airplane, okay? No fear. So sit down on the floor, on earth, and be simple. Manifest your life in simplicity. I think when you drive a car on the freeway, I think the first of all, you experience the seeing you objectively, seeing the car objectively, okay? And seeing you and your car and the time process, and you can see objectively. But you should taste car and you must be one, okay? But while you try to taste unity of you and the car, at that time, car and you are still separated a little bit. But it is, you can't escape from this separation. But you should taste it. But you should taste the unity of the car and you with the whole body, not idealistically, okay? You should taste this next. How do you taste it? Then this practice, actual practice comes into existence. Means you should have simultaneous participation in the function of the car, okay? That's it. At that time, no ideas to how to see you separately from the car. All you have to do is be there and drive. Manifesting your life simplicity, in simplicity. That is practice we call. So practice is human action, but that human action is very refined. That's why in Japanese we call shudo. Shudo means refined action. Dogen Zenji mentions like this, the Buddha way is to make mediate dhammas exist in the realization. In the realization means in the realization of the oneness, unity, okay? Buddha way means the true reality of your life, okay? Relating with all other beings, that is Buddha way. You cannot think your life separate from all other beings. Okay? If you want to think of your life, you have to think your life with other beings, Okay, that is called Buddha way, we say. Universal life. The Buddha way is to make myriad dharmas exist in the realization of the unity. Okay? Means everything is one. Means you should take the teaching of impermanence or no substantiality, which means everything is one. And then next is and to practice the total reality, to practice the oneness beyond realization. Beyond realization means if you taste it, something deep, you attach to it. It's very difficult to live it or to let it go. Do you understand? If you work hard and you have built your life, you know, think the you immediately attach to your own life because you have built up your life in a hard way. So you are successful in doing something, you are successful in running the business, then you attach to your business so much. So it's very difficult to let it go. But I think beyond the realization, if you understand deeply, something deep, I think you should be free from that. To be free from that, something deep which you have tasted makes you put into practice actually. Okay? In other words, it puts you right in the middle of practice action. Because reality is always going from moment to moment without stopping, even for a moment, so you cannot stop. Okay? So very naturally, the action is a deep realization, free from a deep realization, allows you to put into practice practically. Okay? In other words, you have simultaneous participation in impermanence. Not looking at the impermanence objectively. You participate. You can participate organically, directly, or simultaneously in flow of impermanence, flow of no substantiality. Then this is called action. So flow of action comes up. That flow of action is a state of the being beyond realization, beyond experience of realization. So that's why he says that, and to practice a total reality or oneness. You have to practice oneness beyond realization. So to practice oneness beyond the realization is to have direct and simultaneous participation in flow of impermanence, flow of no substantiality. This is our practice, so-called sun. Okay? Today's that's it. So, maybe next time. I will continue to say. So do you have some questions about this?